Everybody else, I'll give you a little bit of time. Turn to Psalm 138. If you're unsure where that is, if you got a Bible in front of you, kind of open it up to the middle. And if you don't hit Psalms the first time, open it up again to the middle. Keep trying. You're going to hit Psalms if you open it up to the middle of the Bible enough. And then find chapter 138. Been talking about hope. We all need hope in the new year, especially. Most of us, when we hit that point, the new year is when we start thinking about all the things we need to fix. And I think the thing we need to fix most probably every day, not just in the beginning of the year, but is the hope we have. And we have an amazing hope we find in Jesus. We know we all need it. We've talked about that. We know we get it from Jesus. We've talked about that. Last week we talked about when we really experience hope, we're going to share that hope with other people. And so today we want to look at what happens to us when we've experienced all these aspects of hope, when we've shared it with people, when we know it comes from Jesus, when we know we need it, when we know it's grace, God's grace that gives it to us. How do we express that hope to others? And how do we express to Jesus that we have found hope in Him? There's one word that answers it. One word, you say, and when I say it, you'll be like, well, this should have been a sermon 2 months ago. But the one word is gratitude. Gratitude is what happens. That's how you express hope when you've found it. When you know Jesus has given it to you, through gratitude, you share that with Him. And through gratitude in your life, you show other people that you found hope in Jesus. And when you're thankful for the hope that you've found, gratitude means that you express your hope to others and let them know about that hope as well. I read a quote this week. It said, your first step away from God is when you become unthankful. Your first step away from God, in the opposite direction of God, is when we become unthankful. You want to stymie godly hope in your life? Be unthankful. Perfect way to do it. Perfect way to do it. Think about the people we've seen so far. Think about them. We talked about Mephibosheth back in the earlier part of this month. If you don't remember that story, I don't have time to go over it. We won't try to get out of this place today, right? Go eat. So you go back and listen to week number one of this sermon series, okay, if you want to know about him. Think about the person who had leprosy in the Roman centurion we talked about week two. Think about the lame man we talked about last week in Acts chapter 3. And if you don't know any of those stories, go back and listen. But those are people that have experienced hope. And those people also were grateful for the hope that they had experienced in Jesus. Sometimes, you and I, we get used to being taken care of. Sometimes we take it for granted. This godly hope we have, this all this stuff that God does for us, we kind of take it for granted. Forgiveness isn't really awesome to us anymore. Grace is not amazing to us. It doesn't... When you were saved, especially if you were an adult, grace just floored you. The fact that God gave you grace, it just floored you. Sometimes we take that for granted so much, it just doesn't do that anymore. The love of God doesn't stop you in your tracks anymore. Those are all symptoms of somebody who has experienced hope, but is not grateful anymore for the hope that they have. Here's a test to make. You go out this week, this is a good way to test your gratitude level. You go to Walmart, I start in this one, I don't even know if they have these anymore. But you go to Walmart, and you go to the 10 items or less line, and there's a lady up there in front of you, and she's got a shopping cart full of 15, 20 things. And you've got a couple cans of green beans, and you've got some cream of mushroom soup, and you've got some French fried onions, and you're going to make the best stinking green bean casserole you could ever make. And you're like, I'm excited about it. My family's going to love this. I'm going to eat every bit of it if they don't. And you walk up to the line to the, because you've only got six things or five things, right? So you walk up to the 10 and under line, think I'm going to get in and out. And the lady in the shopping cart's got 20 things in front of you. And she starts putting them. Maybe she doesn't know where she is, you think first. I'll give her the benefit of the doubt. Maybe she doesn't know she's in the express line. And then she starts putting those all that stuff down. Starts putting it all down. And the lady, the Walmart lady, instead of telling her, you got to go over to the regular line. Or you got to go self-checkout or whatever they do now. She starts scanning stuff. And she's like turtles scanning stuff. She's just slow as can be. How's your gratitude level at that moment? Are you thankful that you were able to find the green beans that you wanted? And you were able to carry the cream of mushroom soup and the French fried onions that you had? You grateful for the casserole that your family's going to enjoy later? Or do you breathe heavy and hope that the lady in front of you will hear you? Do you wonder if the person in front of you can even read? Does that stuff go through your mind? Maybe she's from another county and she can't read, and you just don't. I won't even mention a county just as a way not to make anybody mad in here. Do you yell at the cashier, "Checkout violation"? Do you do that? Or are you just grateful to be there? That'll test your gratitude level. Now, maybe they don't have, and again, I don't know, maybe they don't have the checkout lines anymore, but let me give you a real one that you can experience tomorrow. And if you don't have any kids, we've got parents in here that'll let you take their kids to school to experience this. You pull up for the car drop-off line, and there's five cars in front of you, and you're like, "Well, this ain't going to take long." And you tell little Susie in the back, "Go ahead and get your seatbelt off, get your backpack ready. We're going to tuck and roll. We're going to get out of here." Because real parents, real godly, Jesus-loving parents will pull right up, sling the door open, the kid rolls out, and you just keep going. It's because you know that's the nice thing to do. But parents that don't know the Lord, and you've got five of them in front of you, they pull up. They don't know about being nice to people behind them. And they get out and they walk around. Maybe you do this. And if you do, I'm sorry. You probably do love Jesus. But they walk around and they walk all the way around the car. And they open the door for little Susie. And they help her and they unbuckle her seatbelt. Because evidently she can't do that by herself. And then they pick her backpack up and put it on her. Because evidently she can't do that by herself. And then they hug each other. Then she gives her a little kiss. And then she lets her go. And then little Susie comes back. And she gives her another hug. And she sends her off to school, and then she shuts the door, and then she walks around, and she gets back in her side. She cries a little bit because every day she doesn't want to leave her baby at school. And then she leaves. And then car number two does the same thing. And then car number three, and car number four, car number five, they all do the same thing. And what should have been a 30-second ordeal for five cars to go through ends up being 5 minutes. And now you're late for an appointment, or you're going to be late for work. You want to test your gratitude level? What do you do when that happens? You smile, you enjoy the last few moments of the morning with your kids. Do you grab the steering wheel so tight you think you're going to pull it off the steering column? Do you honk your horn in Morse code that says, you learn Morse code just for this reason, so you can honk it, and it says, "Get out of the way"? When we have hope in Jesus, it always leads to gratitude in every part of our life. At the Walmarts, at the car drop-off line, at the doctor's office, at the insurance office, at your workplace, and your home, in every part of your life, it leads to gratitude. And gratitude changes how we see life. In Psalm 138, David gives us a little glimpse into his heart and how he understands thankfulness to God. Let's read that together. Verse 1, starting, it says, I will give you thanks with all my heart. You say, well, David never had to sit in a car drop-off line. I get that. I will sing your praise before the heavenly beings. I will bow down towards your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your constant love and truth. You have exalted your name and your promise above everything else. On the day I called, you answered me. You increased strength within me. All the kings on earth will give you thanks when they hear what you have promised. They will sing of the Lord's ways, for the Lord's glory is great. Though the Lord is exalted, he takes note of the humble, but he knows the haughty from a distance. If I walk into the thick of danger, you will preserve my life from the anger of my enemies. You will extend your hand, your right hand will save me. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Lord, your faithful love endures forever. Do not abandon the work of your hands. When we look at David's heart, and just specifically in Psalm 138, I think there's three things we see about gratitude. Three things we can learn about the gratitude that our lives ought to have, and we ought to show when we've experienced the hope that's only found in Jesus. The first one is this, is how we show gratitude. It's how we show it. Verses 1 through 3 talk about that. And the first thing we know about showing gratitude is always done voluntarily. Look at what David did, and think about all the other psalms that you know that you've read from David before. David wrote about the gratitude that he had for Jesus or for God. He did that here specifically. He sang about it because all these are songs that could have been sang in a church setting. He shouted it at times. He danced about God's gratitude at times. He banged loud drums, it says, in loud cymbals in Psalms because of his gratitude. He played loud stringed instruments, it says, in Psalms because of the gratitude he had in God. He bowed down in worship because of the gratitude he had. And nobody twisted his arm to do any of that. This wasn't something done privately either. Because I know what you're thinking. Well, Justin, I do have gratitude for God, but I show that within myself. I do that privately. I don't want anybody else. I don't want to step on anybody else's toes. I don't want to tell anybody else about Jesus. I don't want to live a life that shows people, that's outwardly shows people God and the gratitude I have for God. I just do it personally. Well, David didn't do it personally. David didn't do it hidden. He didn't do it privately. He told what was in his heart openly before God and before everybody else. When you come to worship, you come to Bible study, when you give, when you share Jesus, all those things are voluntary, but they're all ways that we show gratitude for all God's done for us. And you can't do all those things privately. It's impossible to give God proper praise without giving God proper thankfulness. When you show gratitude, it's done voluntarily. God does not twist your arm to be thankful for all he's done for you. And he should not have to do that. The second thing about showing gratitude, though, is gratitude is done passionately. It's done passionately. Passion's funny, right? Not all passion looks the same. I love my wife. I think she's beautiful. I think she's awesome. I have a passion for my wife. But I also have a passion for rabbit hunting. Lindsay, those two are not anywhere close to the same, I promise. They're opposites. But I have a passion for both, right? Have a passion for both. Josh has a passion for playing the drums, but he also has a passion for Laura. And those two are not the same, right, Josh? It's your time to agree. Trying to help you. Passion's funny, isn't it? We use the word passion, and inside of us we do have a passion for things. It's like how I watch sports is different than some people watch sports. When I watch sports, I don't scream at the TV. I don't throw things. I don't yell. If I'm watching UK play on TV, I don't go change my shirt because I think at halftime it's going to help in some way. I don't do that. If I'm watching a sporting event, I'm sitting there watching it. And I'm just seeing things. But if you watch me, you're like, that dude has a passion about watching this sport because look how intently he's watching this. But then you would look at somebody else who's throwing things and changing their shirt and screaming. You'd say, that person has a passion about watching sports. Look how they act. And passion is different. So just because showing gratitude is done passionately doesn't mean your passion has to look the same way on the outside as everybody else's. Passion has to do with the heart. Showing your thankfulness passionately doesn't mean you have to go over the top physically. But it means that people know where your gratitude is. In verse 1, David says, I will give you praise with all my heart. Whether he did it by worshiping intently, quietly, or whether he did it dancing around and playing loud instruments, people knew where his worship lied. People knew where his heart was. You might not sing the loudest. You might not have the biggest Bible. You might not have the biggest Sunday school class. But your thankfulness to God for all he's done should always cause you to worship him and to live your life for him passionately, to serve him passionately. That's part of our response to the hope we found in Jesus, part of the gratitude we have for him and how we show it. The second thing about gratitude is that with most things, there's challenges to gratitude. This is probably where most of us will fall in and agree today. There's challenges to showing gratitude. All that stuff I just talked about showing gratitude voluntarily and doing it passionately. You look at that and you think about that and you go, yeah, but that's because there's challenges. And David knew there were challenges to showing gratitude. One of those challenges is spiritual pride. Spiritual pride is a challenge to gratitude. In verse 4, he talks about all the kings of the earth will give you thanks, Lord. All the kings of the earth. And if you know history, you know that kings in that time, and probably leaders of today, they just don't say it, thought that they, a lot of them thought they were gods, wanted people to consider them as gods. So even, David's saying, even the kings on the earth today that think they're gods, one day they're going to know who the real deal is. One day they're really going to know. One day they're going to humble themselves. God's greatness is going to cause them to humble themselves and to praise him. Even kings, the most prideful people of the day. Pride means we focus more on what we've been given rather than the one that's giving it. You ever fall into that category? Pride means we put too much into what we think we've gained in life, and we put too little into the one who allowed us to receive those things that we think we've gained in life. You ever fall into that category? Pride says, I know enough about this particular thing or that particular thing that I don't really need to consult with God first. You ever fall into that category? Because I think probably we all have. Maybe all of those we've fallen into. We elevate, pride elevates us above where God should be in our life. And you might have God crazy high in your life. But if you're just an inch higher, guess what? That's spiritual pride. And you can't show gratitude when you're prideful spiritually. That's a challenge to gratitude in our lives. Another challenge is similar, but it's different. I'm going to call it spiritual entitlement. Spiritual entitlement, similar to pride, but entitlement happens when we take for granted everything that God's done for us. And it is an area of pride, but it's also being entitled. It's when we say things like, well, I'm better than that person, or I've done more than that person, or I've served more than that person, or I've given more than that person. Why hasn't God done something for me? Why hasn't God blessed me like he's blessed them? Listen, preachers do it too. About every week, I'll look at a church and go, I think I love Jesus as much as they do. I think our church is as good as they are. I think we serve as much. I think we do as much outreach or more outreach than that church. Why is God not blessing us like he's blessing them? Why are people not being saved here like they're being saved there? It's entitlement. It's like me saying, I know God's will better than he knows his will. I'm entitled. I deserve something that I think I deserve that I don't really deserve. Preachers do it too. Christians do it too. It all comes under just challenges to gratitude in our lives. It means we don't trust God's wisdom. We don't trust God's heart in providing for us. And that's especially when we can't even see what God's doing. You might be at a curve in the road spiritually, and you don't know what's coming around that curve. You don't know what God's doing on the other side of that curve. And you think you deserve something. You don't trust God's guiding. Entitlement happens when you think God owes you something. Entitlement happens when you're not grateful for what he's given you. You can't show gratitude to God if you feel entitled to what you think you ought to have. Here's the only way to do it. Verse 6. Though the Lord is exalted, He takes note of the humble. But He knows the haughty from a distance. You know what that means? When you read into that, you know what it means? If He's knowing the prideful people from a distance, guess what He's doing to the humble people? Man, He's wrapping them up close to Him. You want to be close to Jesus? You want to fix the challenges to showing gratitude in your life? Humble yourself. Humble yourself if you want to fix that. Because if you're going to be prideful, He's going to know you at arm's length. That's what it says. He's going to know you from a distance. I don't want to know God from a distance. I don't want to know Him that way. There's challenges to gratitude, but then David helps us understand how to grow our gratitude. Look at verse 7 and 8 again. He says, if I walk into the thick of danger, and again, this is him walking, not God putting him in the thick of danger. This is him, himself, getting himself into something. If I walk into the thick of danger, you will preserve my life from the anger of my enemies. You will extend your hand. Your right hand will save me. The Lord will fulfill His purpose for me. Lord, your faithful love endures forever. Do not abandon the work of your hands. Think about it. What are some experiences in life? What are some experiences that help you better show the kind of gratitude you should be showing because of what God has done for you? What are things that when they happen, it grows your gratitude in God? Now, I'm not talking about specific instances, although when I mention these two words, you're going to think of specific you're going to think of specific instances. And I've got stories upon stories of them, and I'm not going to share any of them with you this morning. You're welcome. But I've got all kinds of stories about these two words. One of them, and we see it in verse 7, is protection. When God protects you, and you know it was something that had to be a God thing, no, there was no other way around it. Protection happened, and it had to be a God thing. Isn't that an experience in your life that always pulls you closer? Isn't that experience in your life that always grows your thankfulness and your gratitude to God? That time when He stepped in for you and protected you when nobody else could have taken claim for that. And when you really sit and think about it, those things grow your gratitude for God. David probably looked back on his life and he thought about things where God had stepped up for him. Where Samuel came to anoint the next king of Israel, and you looked at all of David's brothers, and they all looked good, and they were all smart, and they were all had the right personality, and they were all the perfect match. And God went, nope, not one of them. The one you want's out in the field with sheep right now, the only one that's not here. And they go out and they find David. That was God's protection and provision for him. What about when he went out to take his brother's lunch on the battlefield? And there's Goliath down there in the valley, and he comes out and he mocks Israel. And he's been doing that for days. And they let little David go down with just a sling and 5 smooth stones. And with one of those stones, he defeats a giant named Goliath. I think that was a time of protection that he looked back on. It grew his thankfulness and his gratitude. What about when King Saul, when David would come into the palace and would play music to soothe the king, and then when he would go crazy, he would throw spears and stuff at David and try to kill him. Think about all the times that he was spared, that God protected David, and all those times that David thought back on. It had to have grown because of the protection God gave him. It had to have grown his gratitude. And then not only protection, but the next one is in verse 8. I think it's when He equips us. Here's the difference in protection and equipping. Protection is God gets you out of a situation, or God protects you from a situation. Equipping is God leaves you in a situation and He gives you the tools and the grace to be able to get through it. That's equipping. Two different things. You can think of times where God protected you where it was only a God thing. It had to have been God that did it. And then you can think of times where God left you in the middle of something, but He equipped you to get through it. And you know that it had to be God that gave you that grace to get through it. Had to be God that gave you the patience and the love to get through that time, the tools to be able to get through it. And you're thankful for both. Right? The times of protection and the times of equipping. Verse 8 says, the Lord will fulfill His purpose for me. That means whether He protects you or whether He gives you the tools to get out of a bad situation. He's gonna come through. He's going to fulfill His purpose. No experience in life is wasted. We always ought to learn from every experience. And those experiences ought to grow our thankfulness to God each time. Listen, church, it doesn't matter the size of your house. It doesn't matter the number of zeros at the end of your bank account. Education level doesn't matter. Our response to God's greatness and hope we find in Him is always the same. And it's just to be thankful. It's just to be thankful. And it's not just to be thankful, but it's to live a life of thankfulness, a lifestyle of thankfulness. How have you shown gratitude to God lately? How have you shown gratitude through your worship of Him? How have you shown gratitude through your lifestyle? How have you shown gratitude through the words that you say and the words that you use? How have you shown that He's the only one that deserves the thanks and the gratitude that you have in life for everything that's been done for you? How have you shown that? And if you can't think of ways or you're struggling with that, guess what? He's here with open arms to let you back in and to put you back on the right track. He's here to accept you back, to take your repentance and say, God, I'm not done right. I know I'm following You, but I've not followed You very well. And I'm just telling You that I want to come back. Just telling You that I want to get things straight again. Guess what? He's ready for you. He's been waiting for you the whole time. And He wants to lead you into living that kind of life of gratitude. Not only so you know what's right in life, but so that those around you know that it's only Jesus. It's only Jesus that's worthy of the thanks and gratitude that you have for everything that's been done for you. Next question is, have you even given your life to follow Jesus? Can you even give thanks to Him? You can't if you're not following Him. You can't if you've not given Him your life. Because Jesus came and He died and He rose from the grave. He offers forgiveness for your sins. And because of all of that, you have plenty of reasons to not only show gratitude to Him, but to give your whole life to Him today. Have you trusted Jesus to come in and save you? Have you trusted Jesus to come in and give you a new heart and a new life? You've been trying to do it on your own. If you've been trying to do it on your own, the only person you've got to be thankful for is you. And that's pride. Because God's done it all, and you don't realize it. Do you need to turn your life over to Jesus today? Do you need to give Him the proper gratitude He deserves by giving Him your whole life, by trusting Him to save you and trusting Him to forgive you? If you need to do that today while we're singing, I'll be down here. I'll show you in the Bible what it means to be saved. I'll show you in the Bible what it means to give your life to Jesus. You come down here. You come down here if that's what you need. If you need Jesus today, you come down here and I'll show you what it means. And if you just need to come pray, I don't care if you're in the praise band or you're at the computers or you're doing security or wherever you're at, if you need to come down and pray something out, you come down here. You can leave your spot to spend a little time with the Lord this morning. You can leave that fancy pew you're in and come down here. You can do that. Spend a little time in grateful, thankful, gratitude-type prayer to Jesus this morning if you need to. Let's do that. Let's show Him the gratitude He deserves. Let's pray. Jesus, we love You, and we're thankful for Your Word. Thankful for men like David that wrote of his experiences and how he experienced You, God, and how You led his life and how You protected him and how he was so thankful for all of that You had done. And he wasn't perfect. He wasn't always thankful. But man, when he looked back on his life and he saw all the things that You had done for him, all he could do was offer thanks. That's all he could do was offer thanks. Lord, help our lives to show that as well. Help our lives to show the gratitude and the thankfulness that we ought to have for You. If we say we have it, we ought to show it. We ought to talk about it. People ought to know. And then Jesus, today, if somebody's here and they don't have any reason to give you thanks because they've never trusted you to save them, they never have realized that you came and died on a cross for them, that you've done stuff for them that nobody else in history or in the future has ever done or will ever do for them. And you did it to save them from their sins that they can't save themselves from, to give them a brand new life, to give them a hope of heaven one day. Lord, that's reason to thank you. That's reason to praise you. That's reason to be grateful. Lord, help us to do better with that day by day. Help us to be closer to you day by day. Jesus, if you need to save somebody this morning, if they've heard your word for the first time and realize they don't have you in their life, Jesus, I pray today would be the day they would turn that around. Lord, you be with us as we sing. Lord, lead us. Help us to respond. We ask it in your name. Amen.